What's up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of the Nine Circles Audio Thing. This is Chris, and we're going to jump right into it. The master of the microphone, the interviewer extraordinaire, Buke, sat down with Trey from the death metal band Creeping Death to talk everything about their debut album, Wretched Illusions, which came out on September 27th. Hell of an album, hell of an interview, hell of a couple of people to sit down and talk. So without further ado, let's hit it.
Good morning, everyone. This is Buke from Nine Circles with another interview here, and this time I have the pleasure of interviewing Trey Pemberton of the power metal, no, I'm kidding, the death metal, classic death metal band in the vein of classic death metal. I'm talking to Creeping Death guitarist Trey Pemberton. Trey, how is everything going today, brother?
I'm doing all right, man. How you doing?
I am doing wonderful. We quickly said off air before we started here, I have been dealing with a sick child myself. You mentioned you were not feeling well yourself. Was that a result, you said, of the last tour kicking your butt?
Yeah, I mean, you know, sometimes, you know, it's just really my allergies. I get really bad sinus infections. So once the whole process of, you know, the allergies kicking in, that my sinus infection kicks in, the sore throat kicks in, it's a whole process.
I got you. Yeah. It's just that once it starts hitting you, it's just a downward spiral from there. So, Trey, I have to start this off by saying I was in my research for this, I was browsing your Instagram. Are you sure your cold is not from being stressed over your Ohio State Buckeyes having a close game this past weekend with Miami of Ohio, where they won 76-5?
You know what's funny about that is that the game was at 3:30, and I was at Slaughter Queue, and I was trying to watch the game, and I could only watch the first quarter. So I only saw the 7-5 part in the beginning. And I was stressed out. So then I watched a couple bands, played the set, and then I looked, checked my phone, and the game is over. And I had to check three different apps to make sure it wasn't a typo. I was like, 76 to – what happened? I was like – I was so confused.
Yeah. So, I have to first start by asking you this. Do you – or have you lived in Texas your whole life?
Oh, definitely not. I'm a Navy brat. My mom was born and raised in Ohio. My dad was born and raised in New York. I grew up all around the southern part of the country, Southern California, Texas, Florida, Maryland. So I've been kind of a lot.
I'm from Maryland myself. And if you're from Maryland here, yes, we have the Terrapins here, but you don't care about Maryland football because Maryland football sucks. I know you guys have us here in the start of November. And nobody even cares about that game. It's going to be overrun with Buckeyes fans anyway.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I mean, last year was really tough, man. I'm not even going to lie. Maryland gave us a hell of a fight last year, so who knows? We'll see.
So have you made it? We'll get to talking to the band, the real reason why I'm talking to you, but it's great to, you know, everybody who listens to my interviews knows I go all over the place. But have you made it to a Ohio State-Michigan game yet? I heard it's on a different level.
It's on my bucket list. I've actually never been to the Shoe yet. I'm trying to go like ASAP. We'll see what happens. I'll be on tour for a lot of the rest of the season, so I probably won't be this year, but maybe next year I can make it up to the Shoe.
Yeah,
that would be sick.
I've heard it's just something else. Hockey is my sport. Have you had a chance to make it to a Dallas Stars game yet?
I actually have. I'm not really a big hockey guy, so I'm just kind of like watching and being cold. But it was cool. I really liked the music selection. They play a bunch of metal in Dallas.
No, I'll
really
tell you
cool.
What, the Stars, like Pantera does the fight song for the team. It's a huge. They're always playing metal whenever I watch the Stars games on TV.
Yeah, it's badass. It's pretty entertaining.
Oh, yeah, but enough with Ohio State, even though now your guys' season really does start with Cornhuskers and stuff, as you're about to go on tour. The games that you probably really want to watch are about to start now.
Yeah,
But while I'm talking to you, Friday, it's now Tuesday the 24th right now, Friday, you guys release your full-length Wretched Illusions. How is everything shaping up for that, buddy?
We're all just at this point, we're all just super stoked to like have it out. Just the process being over, being able to share all the songs, being able to play all the new songs that we want, you know, that's we're super excited for it.
Yeah,
go ahead.
No, sorry. I was going to cut you off there. All the interviews I have done over the years, people know that when I interview a band, I really like to interview artists. That I really get behind and I really get excited. And everyone who knows me knows that I listen to and I love death metal. And you guys are riding that wave right now.
Thank you.
Old school death metal that is just taking over the scene.
Yeah, yeah. Like, for me, we're all kind of like just hardcore kids. We all kind of came out of the hardcore scene. And we really just wanted to play a style of music that was like, you know, raw and aggressive, but like fast and, you know, technical. And also,
there's also a groove to it.
Oh, absolutely. I take a lot of influence, maybe not sonically, but I take a lot of influence from different types of music, hip hop, reggaeton, anything with a nice fat groove, something in the pocket, you know, something you're in the car, you're just bobbing your head with the windows down. I want people to have that feeling, but, you know, listen to brutal old school death metal.
Exactly. Now, and you say that because you guys from Texas, what a great scene you guys have popping up with Iron Age, with Power Trip. I tell you, Texas is popping up right now for the type of sound that you guys are playing.
Oh yeah, absolutely. There's so many good bands coming out of Texas right now. Frozen Soul, Combat, Fist of Fury is a new crossover thrash band coming out. Scourge from Houston. You got bands from Skeleton from Austin. It's really sick. Like, that's one cool thing about Texas is that it's so geographically isolated from the big markets on the West Coast and the East Coast.
Yeah.
If you really want to get out there, you have to like make it a point to tour through a lot of, you know, a lot of stuff. So it's kind of hard. So what people do is just play all the Texas cities, you know, Houston, San Antonio, Austin, Dallas, and you can make a tour out of that. They're all, you know, some of the biggest cities in the country. They all have, you know, pretty good scenes with really good bands. So it's really sick. It kind of makes it its own thing when you're kind of isolated and you're only playing amongst your peers and like getting inspiration from amongst your peers. And I think that's kind of why like Texas is obviously very, very like metal oriented with a lot of the local music and stuff.
Now with the, you touched on it a little bit, with the size of the state, because here in Maryland, I can be in Ocean City in 2 hours, and I could be at our western extreme in an hour and a half from where I live here, and I'm just 30 minutes outside of D.C., very small state here, and pretty much the only scene is Baltimore. That's pretty much where all the venues are. With Texas being how big it is, you mentioned Dallas or Houston or like the Austin area, are there – since it is so big, are there, though, little bands or different scenes in each city that you need to hit the Houston scene, you need to hit the Dallas scene to where you're not almost lost in the size of the state?
Yeah, for the most part, people really just stick to the major cities. Sometimes you'll see shows out West Texas. Usually people coming from the West Coast coming into Texas will play in El Paso, which El Paso is actually a really big metropolitan city, too. So you can actually low-key get some really sick shows in El Paso. Sometimes my boys, Judiciary from Lubbock, there's shows occasionally out in Lubbock, not very often. But, yeah. There's just so much in between that a lot of the smaller areas kind of get overlooked for the bigger areas where the more, you know, the population
now,
centers
have
are at.
Have you had fans come up to you with the size of the state and say, like, man, I just had to travel 5 hours or 6 hours to see you guys?
Us, sometimes. You know, when we played South Texas for the first time, I know, because the Rio Grande Valley is pretty big. We played in Corpus. I know there was people who traveled a few hours for that one. There's, for the most part, a lot of people, they just kind of stick to their little, like, area, their closest area.
Okay.
Like, if you're from, you know, the outside of Houston, you'll probably just go to the Houston shows. A lot of kids sometimes go to the Austin shows from Houston. San Antonio, people go back and forth from San Antonio and Austin. So
I got you. Now we are talking about tours here. I see you guys just wrapped up a tour supporting Inner Arma. You guys are about to go out with High on Fire and Power Trip and Devil Master here starting November 7th. And we just mentioned here in Austin. And then the next day, November 8th, you're in Dallas.
Yep.
Look, you guys are going to be coming here to Baltimore November 17th, wrapping up in Los Angeles December 7th. So pretty much you guys have a month of nonstop touring coming up. That's going to take you into Canada, playing Vancouver on the 3rd. So are you looking forward to that tour coming up?
Absolutely. It's not very often you get to tour with a Grammy award-winning band like High on Fire, so that's really sick. Power Trip, they're our homies. We came from the same hardcore scene, came up going to the same shows, so we know them. We've known them for a while, so it'll be just like touring with our friends. Devil Master is a sick band too. It'll be sick to see them every night. It's a really diverse lineup with a lot of stuff, a lot, you know, for everyone. So I'm super stoked on it.
That is awesome. Now you quickly touched on, you know, your friend's Power Trip from the scene down there. How long have you known the guys from Power Trip for?
Let's see. I think Riley was the first one who talked to me back in probably 2011.
So
he, you know, it's just like you see people, you know, he was kind of like, you know, in the scene. I was kind of newer. You know, he did the thing, introduced people and whatnot.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, you see people at shows, you just kind of get to know them a little bit more. I would say I probably started to get to know them a little bit better probably like 2014 or 15 when I was living in Denton.
Sorry about that.
Go ahead. I was just going to say I got to know them better living in Denton. Just now me and the two guitar players are in a fantasy football league together. We've been doing it for like 5 years, so. I'm not really sure what the point it really like kind of kicked off, but it's just kind of been a gradual progression along the years.
Now, you just mentioned it really quick. How's your fantasy team doing?
Oh, I'm 3-0 right now. I'm living life. I'm pretty stoked. My team is looking ship shape. I just got to play the waiver wire and, you know, watch out for these injuries. This
bug is killing. I'm a Skins fan and, being a Skins fan has kind of robbed my love of even wanting to do fantasy football. As you saw last night against the Bears, God, that was embarrassing. We're a horrible team.
Yeah, Josh Norman actually saved me from losing. He stole that interception away on that touchdown to Allen Robinson, who was the person I was playing. So I thank you, Skins.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, fantasy football, any fantasy sport can make us love and hate our own teams and players and stuff like that.
Yeah, absolutely.
You were just talking about knowing Riley for years now and you know, getting to know the Power Trip guys. How is that being friends with them? Because, you know, we always want our friends to see success and we want their bands or whatever they're into. We want our friends' marriages or relationships to do well. How is it seeing them and seeing them blow up to what they are now? I can't remember what tour it was, but I saw them years ago. They were totally unknown to me. And then when they released, it was when Nightmare Logic dropped, and it seemed like they were dominating the press everywhere.
Oh yeah, honestly, for us, it was really huge just for them getting signed to Southern Lord and releasing Manifest Decimation back in 2013 for our like little hardcore scene and DFW and Texas in general. We were all just like super amped because it was like the first Super Ants, because it was like the first time in a while it was like a band from our town and was like doing the damn thing. I think the main thing really, it just kind of showed like a band from our area can like actually be like a huge legit.
Right?
Yeah, exactly. So it's like, it's pretty sick to see that, you know?
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Now, you mentioned the hardcore scene. Are you, the only thing I know about hardcore is I know living here in D.C., they had a huge hardcore scene. Have you followed hardcore all over the country? Is that where your love is first and foremost?
I'm just a music lover first and foremost, I would say. I would definitely say it's weird that every hardcore person, they always call themselves hardcore kids or whatever, even though they're adults. But I'm a hardcore kid through and through. That it's the place that introduced me to playing live music. It kind of got me my love for live music and playing. So I think, as much as I do love death metal and metal, metal is definitely my favorite genre. I think I will forever, you know, be a hardcore kid at heart.
Yeah.
There's just something about the DIY, do-it-yourself style. And we try to incorporate that into the band. We try to be as self-sufficient as possible, you know. We just want to work hard. It's kind of the hardcore kid way, I guess. You know, you just kind of make it happen yourself.
Now, how did you come to know the other guys of Creeping Death? Because with you traveling around everywhere, when you landed here in Texas and you know, started living here, did you just find a couple guys going to shows, or how did you meet the other guys?
Pretty much. So I moved to Texas when I was about 12, and then I kind of settled there after that. I would say I started to meet people from the hardcore scene probably around the same time. Eric, he's a little bit older than me. He went to the same high school as I did.
Okay.
But he, you know, I basically just from Dallas hardcore shows, you just like, you know, mingle and meet. Me and Eric, he played guitar in a hardcore band where I played drums in for a minute. So we had been playing together for, you know, years and years. I met Reese through same thing, hardcore shows. But then one day they said, hey, I'm moving to Denton. And I was like, sick. And it turns out Reese lived literally two blocks away. So we would just sit there and hang out, smoke pot, and listen to death metal records together.
Yeah.
So, you know, we became friends that way. You know, as far as, and then Lincoln has been the only drummer that has toured with us. We had another drummer, but he was never able to tour. And finally, Lincoln replaced him, and, you know, the same thing. Lincoln, he was a younger kid. He came into the scene probably around 2014, 2015. But he is an amazing drummer. I would see him play in bands and be like, holy crap, that redhead kid is, like, incredible. It's crazy. So, yeah, we pretty much just meet through shows, through Texas hardcore, Dallas hardcore, that kind of thing.
Okay, now, you guys, going back to it, you guys released Wretched Illusions this coming. I don't know when this will post, but it'll be out to Friday, the 27th. When
yes,
did you guys
yes.
start working on this? Because you guys, seems like a lot of bands right now, the current trend, or at least what I've seen, is trying to release an EP or an album almost every year. Like, look what Tumult's doing. Doesn't seem like those guys take their finger off the recording button. They're putting out an album every year. You guys released an EP back in 2016, Sacrament of Death. Spectre of War came out last year. And then you guys have your full-length drop in Friday.
Yeah. I think for us, with the EP, or demo, and then EP, and then full-length, that's, again, another product of, like, just, you know, hardcore. That's, like, the kind of progression that bands typically take. You usually do your demo very first thing, and then EPs to kind of build up your sound, kind of form your sound, get it together, and then you bang out, you know, 10 songs for, you know, or 8 to 9 or whatever you have for your LP. And I think it's a good way to really, you know, form your sound, hone it down, get it laser focused, and put out the best material that you can have. And as far as just putting out music, I know it's releasing, it's like Tumult. That's crazy. That's a lot of music to write over a very short span. It's super impressive. But I noticed it's probably going, I think you'll see the trend of that going that way because of, you know, like hip hop went that way. It's like now people are putting out mixtapes every, you know, couple of, you know, whatever, what have you. And it's really because the society nowadays has a super short attention span. So if you want to stay in, stay relevant, stay talked about, keep putting out new music and keep pumping it out and keep touring. And, you know, that's just kind of the formula you got to take nowadays. People are quick to leave you behind and forget. So,
you know, it is so interesting that you just touched on that, because I'm a big tech guy. I love gadgets. I love the internet. I love everything that we have at our fingertips. It's great, but it's also bad, because I saw on your Twitter, was it, that already the Russian bots had your guys.
Yeah. Yeah, I was like, you know, I was just, you know, searching the name just to see if anyone posted any pics or videos that we could use to share or whatever. And that came up, and I was like, are you kidding me? I was like, man, it's crazy. I searching for albums as a kid, just trying to download stuff off the internet, coming across those same links was like, it was kind of surreal. I was like, whoa.
Okay, I don't know how old you're, but I am 36 myself. I remember the first time that I grew up and we had Napster, and it was like, wow. I was just thinking of the bands that when I was at high school age. Like, if you typed in like Korn, oh wow, every Korn album's here. You know, the Creeping Death Let's use Metallica, you know, them famously going after Napster. You could type in Metallica and wow, every album's here. But where I was going with this, I found it interesting that you mentioned this, is that I think that the easy access to all these bands, you have to stay relevant, because, Trey, I could literally hang up the phone and you mentioned hardcore, and I could go pull up like the whole Bad Brains discography right here. And I could go down that rabbit hole, and before you know it, Creeping Death is just a distant memory.
Exactly. Yeah. So
if you don't keep, I guess, releasing content or releasing new songs, you kind of get lost in the mix of the easy access.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of a double-edged sword. It's easier than ever to get your art out there and get your music out there. But it's like there's so much other people doing the same thing. Like the waters get really crowded and you kind of have to, you know, find your own lane and navigate that lane, you know, and try to, you know, just keep yourself relevant, keep yourself pumping out good music.
So, okay, here's an interesting, I've never asked any artist this. When I was going to shows growing up, you always had the guys standing outside the shows handing you CDs, handing you tapes and stuff like that. I was at a bar the other day, and I met a guy who's in a band. I forget what style they are, but he was about to go on tour. When he wanted to tell me about his band, he pulled up Spotify, and boom. Here's his whole discography for his band. If I was to meet you at a wherever, and you say, "Hey Matt, check out my band." Where are you directing people now? Because, you know, you mentioned that double-edged sword. If you direct them to Spotify, you know, yes, you guys love playing metal, but hey, there's gas to pay to go on tour. How do you get them to take that next step into, hey, listen to us, but maybe support us too in buying the album or buying shirts?
Basically, we try to make it easy for everyone to put all the links in one place. So we actually got a website, creepingdeath.net. So all of our links are in one place. So when people ask, I can say, go to this website, and you literally just scroll through and find the thing that you're looking for. It's all at your fingertips, all, you know, idiot proof. It's like,
exactly.
You can't,
exactly.
You have to, it's all right there. Pre-order links, our merch is on the site. So it's an easy way to get people to, have it all in one place. It's easy to remember. So that helps too.
And I was just going to be mentioning that, but your guys' website is, again, creepingdeath.net. You go on it, right there at the top of it, pre-order. You scroll down, there's a nice tour poster. There's all the tickets to buy everything. It's you want to buy merch, it's right there at the bottom.
Yeah, yeah. That's, you know, we just want to make everything as easy for people as possible to, you know, to support us. We don't want to make it like you have to hunt down and find stuff to want to, you know, rep our band. We appreciate all the love and support that we get, so we want to make it easy for you to, like, support us, too.
Because, you know, you talk to a lot of, and I'm sure, you know, you talk to fans at shows, a lot of kids these, I can't believe I'm saying this phrase, but a lot of kids these days, it's not common. Sorry, it's very common for them to have never bought an album.
They
stream everything. They stream everything.
Yeah, I'm actually guilty of that. I think I've bought one record in my entire life.
What was that? Should we talk about it off air, or is it that in?
No, it's not bad. It's Manifest Decimation. Again, with the Dallas hardcore thing, I felt the need to, like, support the hometown team, you know? So
okay.
I bought that record. But other than that, I'm not really a huge record collector, CD collector. I've been into downloading and streaming for a while. So I'm kids. I'm sorry. I'm guilty of it as well.
Hey, well, I will say this for all my fellow vinyl guys out there. I got looking at about 800 vinyl records here. I will be buying your guys' vinyl records because I think your guys' album art's awesome. I love having the physical product like that, but yes, I can't lie. When I'm in the car, I will load up Spotify and just quickly stream it. It's just easier. Trey, we got going back to the album here, Retrolution. I've interviewed the mastermind, the mastering master. Look at that phrase, guys. Mastering master. Arthur Rizek. The guy's a freaking musical metal genius. How did you guys contact him? Because I'm sure his schedule is booked.
Yeah, we tried to work with him with the Spectre of War EP. So we already had contact and had a rapport with them. So it wasn't like hitting them up out of the blue. So we for sure wanted him to mix and master it because we had a little bit of a better budget with E1 helping us out. So
yes.
So we definitely, you know, we love his work. And then our friend Daniel Schmuck is actually the person who recorded it in his studio in Argyle, which is about 10 minutes away from where I live in Fort Worth. So we all just kind of met up there, and I'm actually in another band with him too. So we're all good friends. With this album recording process, we wanted to keep everything comfortable and familiar, especially for our first record, you know. And I think the sounds and the tones really just were amazing. I think Daniel got some great, especially drum tones and guitar tones and stuff like that. And then Arthur just mixed the ever-loving shit out of it. It sounds massive.
Did he ever?
Yeah.
That to me, with the sound of metal you guys play, that's one of the things that will ruin it for me. A bad mastering job, I won't listen to. That's why I'm... to the angst of some of our listeners or fans, I'm not a big black metal guy because I can't stand like I'm listening through heavy metal through my daughter's Barbie speakers.
Yeah, like, don't even get me started on black metal, dude. I am not a fan. It's probably my least favorite metal genre.
Same for me. I'm a power metal, death metal guy. Black metal for me, it's all blast beats and it's boring. And it's I know it's more than that, but.
Yeah, agreed. I need riffs. You know, I need riffs. I can't have this ambient, like, you know, it sounds like you got a cold.
Yeah, hey, brother, I'm with you there. Okay, now, do you dip a toe into the power metal scene?
Not really. So this might be a dumb question, but, like, give me an example of a band that is power metal.
The biggest ones, like a Blind Guardian, Iced Earth.
Okay, I've never heard of them, so I guess not very inclined.
Okay, no, that's fine. These are the real, like, booming choruses, the real nerdy, a lot of nerdy subject matter about dragons.
So, like, Eternal Champion?
No, Eternal Champion's just more classic. Think Eternal Champion, but you turn up the nerd dial a little more.
Gotcha.
You add in Lord of the Rings. You add in you add in dragons. You add in epic choruses. You add in power, like Dio level vocals.
Oh, okay, that's sick. I love Dio, so that sounds right up my alley.
Yeah, so if you maybe just want to check it out, hey, you know what? Maybe I'll be talking to you a year from now, and you're like, hey, I'm in a power metal band now.
Well, yeah, we'll see. I'll have to play guitar. I don't have the pipes for that one, so.
So how long have you personally been playing for?
Actually, guitar is a really semi-new thing for me at this point. I've been playing drums since I was 12. I didn't pick up guitar until I was about 19. So I was like a full adult by the time I started playing guitar.
Self-taught?
Oh, yeah. I'm self-taught. I learned by tabs on ultimateguitar.com. I would just learn some of my songs, some of my favorite songs at the time. That's why we play in drop tuning, because it was just easy for me to learn in drop tuning first, because a lot of the songs I was like listening to at the time were in that tuning. I'm 26 now, so that was like 7 years ago when the demo came out in 2015. I've been playing for like 2 years. So I was just kind of feeling it out and trying to get comfortable. If you look through my pictures and stuff, you could see the progression of how low my guitar has gotten. When I first started, it was like really high because I was not comfortable playing. But now it's like completely as far down to the ground as possible.
Okay.
So
now, how is it you going back listening? Are you able to go back listen to your early stuff?
Listen to the demo. No, it sounds like dog shit to me. I can't even listen to it. Like, even Reese had never been in a band prior to that, so their vocals weren't the best. But the progression that we've all shown from beginning to now is pretty sick, I think.
Yeah, that's why, hey, I will be honest with you, though. That's why whenever, you know, bands release these special edition albums and stuff like that with a bunch of demo tracks, I never really listen to them because, you know, they're demo tracks. You know, you're not watching your Buckeyes summer games, or maybe you are, but... okay, a couple more questions here, and I'll let you go. You guys have a video out for Ripping Through Flesh. You guys actually have two out for this album, Bloodlust, Contamination, and Ripping Through Flesh. For the people who haven't seen Ripping Through Flesh, you guys basically look like you went spelunking in a cave.
We basically did.
How did that whole shoot go down?
So it was honestly really, really sick. So we filmed them at two caves. So our drummer Lincoln and our singer Reese, they filmed their part at the cave with no name in Burney, Texas. That's like kind of outside San Antonio-ish. And me and Eric, we filmed our parts at the Wonder Cave in San Marcos, Texas, which is about 30 minutes south of Austin. So it was really cool. They were really, I know the cave that Lincoln and Eric went to, or Lincoln and Reese went to, was like insane. It was a 7-story stairway that they had to like load in all of Lincoln's drums and all the stuff. And
that is
it was
awesome.
Just,
it was very,
very beautiful. I need to get pictures from Reese and Lincoln because it looks like something out of a movie straight up. So it was really cool.
You know what else? Well, way to set the bar pretty high, huh? How the hell did you guys follow that up for a third video now?
I don't know. Reese kind of comes up with all the themes and stuff and the lyrics. So everything is very fantasy-based. Some of it's based in real life, too. So, you know, Reese is a creative person. So, I have the utmost faith. I'm sure we'll do something very cool as well.
And then you were about to say for your cave?
Oh, yeah, our cave, it was a little bit smaller, but it was still really, really cool. There was like a petting zoo upstairs, and all the animals were, like, talking and shit. And then downstairs, when you get into the cave, it was just, like, you get to this point where, like, the humidity was, like, crazy, and then you cross it, and then it's like, oh, wow, it's, like, actually kind of cool in here. But then us obviously filming the stuff and jumping around and doing whatnot made the cave, like, I don't know, it was, like, very, very... like moist, you know, but it was really cool. It was one of a kind experience. And also a cool thing is that our friend, we got to you know, a lot of our homies got to be a part of it and be like extras and the people fighting. So that all the people awesome. Fighting are all, you know, good friends and family of ours. So, you know, it's so sick to, you know, do this and, you know, kind of keep it in the family. Yeah.
That is really sweet. You guys here, we mentioned, we're talking about here, Ripping Through Flesh. That has more of that classic death sound to it, like a bolt thrower sound. But then we mentioned you guys like a groove, and like your hardcore sound really comes through on track to me, like on Sinner's Torch. I fucking love that song.
Yeah, that one's the speed track that we're like, let's just play fast this one.
Yeah, if you had to pick a track that's your most favorite here, there's, what, 10 on the album? You have a couple of favorites?
Oof, that's so tough. I mean, honestly, Bloodlust and Ripping Through Flesh are up there. Captivity, song 2 on the album, is up there. And then I would say track 7. World Decay, it starts off with a crazy ass drum fill. That one we specifically wrote. We were like, this is going to be the just for the moshers. Like, this is straight for the hardcore kids, for the moshers. We just wanted it to be like an ass beater. So that one is always my favorite, because I just really like straightforward fight riffs. So.
Now, for people coming out, again, we mentioned it. You guys go on tour November 7th with High on Fire, Power Trip, Double Master. Can fans coming out to see you guys here on November 7th, can they, and for the month after this, how's your guys' set list shaping up? Have you finalized it yet? Is it going to be a lot of new tracks? Is it going to be probably, like we mentioned, nothing from the demo? But,
nope. Yeah, I think we're going to keep it to Spectre of War and Wretched Illusions only. Not sure. It really depends on our sets, like how long we get for each set, which we're still kind of not really quite sure on yet, but you'll find a good mix of new songs. You'll find a good mix of songs off Spectre that we'll keep playing too. So you'll have a little bit of something for everybody.
I tell you what, I will be coming to Baltimore November 17th at the Soundstage to see you guys.
Oh yeah,
I'm going to let you go here. I'm going to mention it again. Wretched Illusions is out Friday, September 27th. By the time you hear this, it'll be out. Please do yourself a favor, everyone. Go out, check this out. Trey mentioned it, creepingdeath.net. Trey, the floor is yours. Anything you wanted to say, brother?
No, thanks for having me, man. I appreciate you taking the time to talk to me. And when you come through the show, Baltimore, let me know. Hit me up. I'd love to meet you, man.
I would love to talk to you some more, Trey. It was a true pleasure. Again, this is Buke for 9 Circles. Follow us at 9circles.co for everything metal, you know, our playlists, other interviews, our album of the month for September is going to be for my favorite band, Opeth. We're going to be talking their latest album. Are you an Opeth fan, Trey?
I actually haven't listened to Opeth before, but I should.
Okay, well then these 40 minutes I've been talking to you, throw it in the trash. Wait. No, I'm just joking. But yeah, that's our album of the month. We're going to be sitting around talking that. Trey, it was a pleasure talking to you. So much fun, buddy. You have yourself a great day, brother.
You too.